Ready?
1 second.
It's a recording.
It's recording.
So, Jim, here we are, coming from the past and talking to people from the future. Take it away.
We are going to talk about the Olympics, aren't we? And not just the whole Olympics. We're going to talk about the tennis part of the Olympics, though I know you're a big fan of all the Olympic events, David.
Yes, the Olympics is like the pinnacle of
your
sports.
Life.
Yes, exactly. Yes, you said it.
You love all those Olympic sports you were telling me before the red transmission button lit up.
Yes.
But you're not so sure about tennis's part in it, although you're a big tennis fan.
True.
You think the Grand Slams are the really big thing. But this year was a bit of an exception, maybe. The Olympics, even more important in the tennis calendar, because, of course, of Novak Djokovic. Going back to the days when players played in long skirts, well, the lady players anyway, some men players perhaps. Yeah, it was a part of the Olympics, I believe, back in the kind of black and white era. With underarm serves, wooden tennis rackets, and people jumping the net at the end. Then, yeah, I think it disappeared, and I think it might have come back in 1988, but not all the top players embraced it. A lot of them kind of missed it, as they did with the Australian Open.
It wasn't seen as an important sport in the Olympics, but this year, suddenly it became a bit more. Why do you think that happened? Because of Djokovic?
Because of Mr. Djokovic and doing the Golden Slam, which is winning all four Grand Slams in one, not just all four, but in a calendar year,
yes.
Plus the Olympics, which you only get a chance one in every 4 years to do. Djokovic has never won the Olympics. Steffi Graf has done the Golden Slam before,
True.
But she's the only tennis player who's done it. So this was his big chance. He's won three Grand Slams in a row. So this was leg 4 of 5 of the Golden Slam for Djokovic. But it didn't quite pan out like that, did it?
Well, Jim, David and Jim from a few days ago were predicting that Djokovic was going to dominate the world. And here we are.
We weren't the only ones, were we? To be fair to ourselves, it was supposed to be just a procession, a coronation.
Yeah.
Which is a case of who he was going to meet in the final.
Yes.
But you've watched more of the Olympics tennis than me because I've struggled with technology.
Mm-hmm.
BBC didn't show much. You tell our listeners, how it panned out in the men's side of the draw.
Maybe we only have one listener.
Well, that's more than some radio shows,
exactly.
shows, I'm sure. Do we count ourselves as listeners?
Yeah, maybe.
That's two listeners then.
Not too bad. You can say listeners in plural. So the question was?
What happened in the men's side of the draw? It started off very well. Djokovic won his rounds in the searing heat. Straight sets beat Ken Nishikori, as I call him.
Yes.
Kai Nishikori.
Now it's Nishikori Kei, by the way.
You know? It's confusing.
No, yeah. The Japanese said that they have to call Nishikori Kei now.
Oh, right.
So now it's Nishikori Kei, not Kei Nishikori.
That is just
bizarre.
We need to have a whole new separate episode.
That
is very confusing.
Very confusing.
It must be confusing for him and his postman as well.
Must have something to do with the culture.
Yeah.
Or with what the meaning and the value of each name is.
Maybe. Yeah.
I'm not sure. But yes. What the hell happened there? I was very surprised by what happened to Djokovic. It's not surprising that he has these moments, these tantrums and these disconnections from tennis. We've seen it before.
We have.
Again, David and Jim from a few days ago, the guys from the past, were completely convinced that Djokovic was not going to have, especially me, I was saying, Djokovic, his mental fortitude now doesn't even have ups and downs anymore. But it does. And
yeah,
it did.
We were both wrong.
Both mega wrong.
We thought without Federer, without Nadal, without the legend of Murray there, because he withdrew to concentrate on doubles.
Yes.
We thought, it was really, given the trophy now, let's save a bit of time.
Yeah.
But What happened was he ran up against a 6'5" of German lanky muscle in Zverev.
A
few years ago, you could put your bottom dollar on to double fault his way from the jaws of victory into the arms of defeat. But it didn't happen like that. Jan Djokovic played very well, had to in the first set. But then we saw the new Zverev emerge from the mists of Tokyo.
It was something to behold. I tell you, I have never seen Zverev play like that. I didn't even see him play like this when he won the O2 finals a few years back.
Well, that was the one time I thought when he was on fire then, and then his form dropped off. The double faults didn't go away and, in fact, multiplied.
In this tournament, especially in the semis and the final, all his second serves were hitting the line and were kicking up and were very difficult for the opponents to respond.
Yes, Djokovic said he didn't get a look at any of the serves. He just didn't let him in.
Madness. And what I felt what happened to Djokovic was some sort of tantrum. At one set and a break up against Zverev in the semi-final.
And he had to work hard for it.
He had to work hard for it. It felt like he had a thought for a moment, and he thought, oh, I might do the Golden Slam this year. There was also something about Zverev. Zverev's face, it said like this, I'm down a set in a break. I'm going down anyway. Who cares? And suddenly, he started hitting bullets, but from the forehand, which is his weaker side, he tends to hit a lot of mistakes. And he completely transformed into a new player.
You saw more of it than I did. Did Zverev stay calm when he was behind and calm when he was in front? Because we've seen him throw his racket before.
That's exactly it.
We've seen him get into arguments with the umpire.
But, he was in the zone.
Both of them in that match did stay focused and calm. They were focused on trying to win, weren't they?
There was
none of the stuff that we saw later on in the bronze match from Djokovic.
Yes, or even
throwing his racket.
Yeah, exactly. I think something happened there with Djokovic, and then from that moment on, set up in a break, suddenly he lost 6-7 games in a row.
And he was trying to go to the net at the end and shorten the points, wasn't he?
Which kind is of giving up.
Which is unlike Djokovic, really. But
completely.
What I saw is Zverev just stayed very calm. He reminds me of Del Potro in a way. It's effortless power. And when he leans into that backhand, that is quite something. And he throws the ball up on his serve into the clouds. And it comes down and he really sits on the serve. And when he's doing that, you know, that puts him in the driving seat from that point on. I'm going to just read out something from the post bag here.
Go.
Just to cut in so we get a kind of third opinion, a third wheel on this.
Yeah.
This is from James Turner, young James Turner of Milner Road. And he texted me after the Olympics to say, how do you feel about ND, Novak Djokovic, withdrawing from the mixed doubles bronze medal game, leaving his partner in the lurch? We'll come on to that, James. But after I said my opinion to James, James Turner says, with the US Open incident, after ridiculing a journalist who asked a question about the possibility, followed by his COVID event and anti-vax stance, he really seems like a prat. I've gone off him big time. So that's strong words. So really, his image has been tarnished. I thought he was very sporting when losing to Zverev. He hugged him at the end. He was well done. But then the bronze match, throwing his racket around and also withdrawing from the mixed doubles, third place playoff. Because he lost after the Zverev match, he lost his mixed doubles. So he withdrew, leaving his poor partner, and prizes to anyone who can name her, because this was her big chance to win an event. He withdrew, leaving her in the lurch, citing a shoulder injury. Did you see any sign of a shoulder injury in the bronze singles match against Pablo Carreño Busta at all? Did you watch that match?
Well, he also said that in an interview, he said that he was exhausted psychologically and physically.
Mentally and physically,
Mentally and physically. And maybe Djokovic was expecting to get some love from that and some compassion.
Well, to be fair, the ladies in the Olympics haven't they? They've won a lot of sympathy. Azarkova, who we'll mention later, and Simone Biles, the gymnast, who withdrew from a few team events. But I think Djokovic, there was probably less sympathy in the bank for him before he withdrew. Disagree with me if you like, but I think it's wrong on two counts. It really lets down his partner, giving her a chance.
Very disappointing.
It also leaves a hole in the schedule. There's no bronze match. Their opponents would have loved to have won the bronze on merit, I'm sure, and had their moments at the net, shaking hands with the great Djokovic. And then if they'd won the bronze medal, actually standing on that podium with the national anthems, having sweated for it.
Yes. You know, every time we start getting closer to Djokovic emotionally and accepting him, he comes up with a new trick that makes everyone angry. And it's always going to be hard for him to get fans the way he wants to. I think he should embrace the fact that he has a very openly positive and negative character, which just doesn't compute with a lot of people. It's a problem. I also agree with you. I think it's very disappointing. Even if he was injured, just for the sake of his partner, play the damn match. And he didn't look injured in the two matches. The moment that he lost the gold, he completely gave up on the Olympics, which he showed it in the bronze match.
Did he particularly play worse in the bronze medal match to the Zverev match?
He did.
My theory was maybe he was throwing his racket around in the bronze match because he was saying, I should not be losing to Carino Buster this way. Whereas against Zverev, he was like, okay, he's a good player. He's playing superbly. I accept defeat.
That can play a factor, but we all know when Djokovic wants to win, he wins, especially against a player like Carino Busta, he's a great player, but he does not have the weapons that Djokovic has. I saw Djokovic not playing the match correctly and with respect for his opponent or for tennis or for
How
Olympics.
Was he at the end? How was he at the net?
As always, that's the place where Djokovic never falters, is a defeat. He's always so gracious in defeat. So he hugged Carino Busta very
amicably.
Thank you.
Like amigos.
Yeah, exactly. And accepts defeat very quickly, but definitely he was not there. He was not the Djokovic that has been winning Grand Slams this year.
He seems so popular with so many of his fellow players. Maybe not so much Federer and Nadal. They operated at a different altitude, I suppose. But he does stick up for the players in the kind of terms of this union he's formed. I think at previous Grand Slams, he spent quite a lot of time helping out other players with their problems at the expense of his own campaign. I think a player might have failed a COVID test or something in a recent Grand Slam, and Djokovic spent quite a lot of time trying to get that decision reversed, looked at, things like that. You know, while you know he should be on the practice court, I think he still won the Grand Slam in question.
And funny that is one of the things that he does that is also controversial.
Yeah, yes, it is. The vaccinations are controversial. But maybe he's
not only the way he defends the players, it goes against some regulations and some way that the officials higher above don't see eye to eye with Djokovic.
Yeah, it must put a lot of noses out of joint, yes, with forming this different union.
Yeah.
You know, not every player
likes
that. They thought they were well represented anyway.
Exactly.
Djokovic might have thought that the little guy on the tour doesn't get a big enough slice of the pizza.
Yeah.
So he's his own man, and you know, that might be what makes him such a special player. He doesn't go for the obvious shot. He's not afraid to think outside the box.
Yes.
But then there's this side of him too, which keeps on rearing its head. It's one step forward, two steps back, and this is why, you know, some of the public don't warm to him, unfortunately. In terms of withdrawing, I mean, there are precedents before. In terms of Steffi Graf, I can remember one year at Wimbledon, she was in the mixed doubles, I think, with John McEnroe. And she did very well in the singles. She wasn't expecting to reach the Wimbledon final, so withdrew from the mixed doubles when McEnroe and her seemed to be on course to win the tournament. McEnroe wasn't very happy about that. In Graf's defence, this was different from the Olympics. She wasn't letting down a nation. She was just letting down perhaps John McEnroe. So people do withdraw from tournaments, and it you often think, well, that's a bit of a shame, because if you'd given more notice, someone else could have taken your place in the draw. So Djokovic isn't the first kind of person to do this. And I think maybe if he was annoyed and smashing rackets, it's, I think, because he wanted this so much. Even the bronze medal, I think he wanted. And to go out on this was really embarrassing and demoralising for him, because he was trying his utmost against Zverev, wasn't he? He really wanted that Golden Slam.
He was trying. That's very true. He really tried for the Golden to get back on track in that match after losing 6 games in a row and being down 4-love in the third set. And yes, there was some aftermatch there for him, throwing the racket and the tantrums he came up with. But to me, throwing the racket is normal. Players do that since the beginning of time. So to me, that's okay. But yes, it does represent some hangover for me.
I've just got this image when you said that of a caveman just raising a tennis racket slowly in the air and bringing it crashing down.
It started with clubs. Started with clubs and rocks.
They'd smash their clubs, would they?
Yeah, some sort of baseball,
if they couldn't
tennis.
Catch the saber-toothed tiger, they would smash their club.
Yes. So, well done, Zverev. I am very hopeful.
Yes.
And if you get the chance, go watch the final.
Or at least go watch
the extended highlights, because the way Zverev played was something else.
And well done, Kashinov, for reaching the final.
Well done.
He had a tricky semi-final on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And Carino Buster, too. You know, he often sneaks through to the final stages of these
does,
tournaments.
And he again defeated Medvedev, who was very disappointed with himself, said it on the interview, and threw a racket on the floor, pissed off for losing that quarterfinal.
Well, he was partly pissed off because of the heat. They played in the searing heat. I think he's got a big point there.
There was a lot of players complaining, so much that they changed the times for the semis and the final. Well, one of the matches with Medvedev and versus Fognini.
Oh, I love Fognini.
Wow, those two.
Foggy.
Well, that match was so entertaining because they spent the whole match complaining from the beginning to the end. It was brutal. Fognini.
They are moaners, aren't they?
Oh my God.
They are neurotic moaners.
I love them both.
And also, I think there was only a 60-second turnaround between during changeovers, where normally it's 90 seconds. They reduced it to 60 seconds. I'd be in favour of that, apart from in the searing humidity of Tokyo. That is not a good idea. That's where the 90 seconds is a good idea for once.
Well
said.
So
I don't know if they changed that because of the player complaints. Might have been because of the chasing the TV ratings. They had it at that time, with that amount of changeover. Another change, which is different from a few Olympics ago, is there's no ranking points. So you had people like Cameron Norrie, who's had a very good 2021, I think one of the top dozen players in terms of matches won this year. He opted to play in Mexico and won the Mexico tournament. He's got lots of ranking points in the bag. But to me, I think it's crazy. You've got a chance of doing well at the Olympics. You're playing well. Maybe Cameron Norrie could have won a bronze with the right draw and people defaulting. So I don't understand why so many players didn't play. I know the bubble is a kind of acceptable thing, I think. Japan's COVID rate is very bad. It's more time away from your family. Not the most fun thing to be cooped up in a hotel. But to actually play another tournament in Mexico, well, it paid off for Norrie, I suppose, in a way. But would you rather win a tournament in Mexico, get the ranking points, or win a bronze medal?
Definitely.
To me, I'd rather win a bronze medal.
Definitely. That,
so
I agree,
don't understand. 100%.
Yes.
I don't understand that at all.
That comes to a point which I've been thinking about. Still, there is something in these tennis Olympic championships, women and men, that is not as exciting as the Grand Slams. The reason why I say this is because the amount of great players that we see compete at the Grand Slam, it's not even half at the Olympics. Lots of good players were not there.
Lots of missing people,
which kind of retracts a little bit from the value of winning it. Yes, it's great to get a gold, but you got a gold not against the best of all the best. You had a much easier journey to the final.
Well, in 20 years' time, if the Olympics does take off again, and I think Olympic tennis has stalled because of this tournament, really, unfortunately. But if it takes off again, then people will be bitterly regretting that they didn't play 20 years ago. Much like Borg and McEnroe must regret not playing the Australian Open, which would have greatly added to their Grand Slam tallies in the late 70s and early 90s, surely. Murray withdrew. And I know you've been itching to speak about Murray's withdrawal from the singles. He was a defending champion, but he decided to concentrate on the doubles instead. Yeah, personally, a bit of a blow. I was looking forward to him having a crack at it. Do you think if you're injured, you're better equipped to play doubles than singles? If you had an injury, would you ever withdraw from a singles match and say, look, I can play the doubles instead?
I think it depends on the injury.
Yes.
But I think if I'm injured, I won't play any of the doubles or singles.
Right, you withdraw from both.
Yes. I think also Murray's fans should give up on Murray until he's finally, you know, with his head right to tennis, because he's really not there yet. The Murray that we knew once is not there.
No. And I mean, the same with Federer. This was his golden chance.
Yeah.
If that's what something he's got in common with Djokovic, they haven't won the singles gold,
yes,
the gold medal. So I think Federer's boat has sailed. Djokovic, can you see him winning the gold possibly in Paris in 2024?
There's still a chance for sure. Depends on how his body reacts and he stays connected or not to tennis all these next 4 years.
Definitely, he has had injuries in the past. I mean, there's nothing to say he didn't have a shoulder injury. We haven't got any medical evidence that he didn't have. You have to trust people. But I would think his game would take a toll on the body. Him scrambling around at the baseline, trying to retrieve those Zverev missiles.
Oh, yes.
You know, we see this in a lot of his matches. He's a great retriever. He's not a kind of Federer 1-2 jab knockout kind of person. So I wonder if he will have the longevity of someone like Federer. One person who has got a chance of winning the Olympics, though she didn't win it this time, we have to talk about her, Naomi Osaka.
Yes, we do. Women's tennis was won by Bencic. He's one of my favorite players.
A Swiss player did win the Olympic gold.
Well,
just
then
wasn't the Swiss player maybe we were thinking of.
Yeah, yeah. But I was glad for her because I do follow her a bit. But yes, Osaka lost against Vondrousova.
That's easy for you to say. Czech player.
Vondrousova. Czech player.
Yeah, Czech player, yeah.
6-1, 6-4. And then what did she say in the interview again?
I'd like to know. It's always interesting what she says.
She blamed a little bit on the pressure again. I think she should just give up on tennis for a while, you know, and take care of her depression and come back when she's ready to face the world. She should just stop. You know, she has money to get a holiday house away from the world, away from the news, leave the phone.
Devon, Cornwall.
Yep.
Somewhere nice and sunny with palm trees, Torquay.
Yes.
But David, stress surely is part of sport. Is it possible for young people to actually escape social media? It's such a big part of their life. Checking the phone for WhatsApp, checking it for Twitter likes, checking it for dislikes. You know, on my way here today, I saw a young lady at the bus stop. And she was just texting just at frightening speed.
Yes.
You know, her thumbs were going incredible. Like some multi-limbed octopus. Is it possible for, for someone to, a young person, to actually escape from social media? Would that not be like telling someone to stop saying the word the or something? It's impossible.
Yes. The world we live in now, isn't it?
Because... Are you on Facebook? Are you on Instagram?
Never joined Instagram. Facebook had its hype. It was fun for a while, but then it got old, isn't it? And I think people still use it a lot for also for business and, you know, to sell stuff. There's a big market for everything in Facebook.
Builds your brand, which is maybe the key thing for these tennis players. It's like, don't just win this Grand Slam, build your brand. Design this fashion thing, publicize it.
Yes, it works well as a marketing tool. But to answer your question, the kids stay a lot in their computers. They don't have the touch, the face-to-face interaction so much. And even when they do, they are on the phones while communicating with each other. We come from a different time where we were playing outside with our friends with no phones for distraction. So I don't know if it's possible for these people to do that because of the way that the world is shaping up to be. And the world is shaping differently. So I think it really depends on the willpower of each person and the awareness. And the parents, that's a very important job for them to do. Well, now I have a daughter and I'm thinking, what should I do? How will I balance those two things? Because we don't know where we're going with this technology. and the world is shaping differently.
I think you need the wisdom of Solomon to really know how to tackle the problem. If you talk about pressure, I felt under pressure, I'm withdrawing because of the pressure. You're putting more pressure on yourself. I think this is why more and more people are coming out in sport. Ben Stokes, the cricketer, he's taking a break from cricket because of mental problems. And is this a coincidence? He's doing this after Simone Biles, Naomi Osaka. So I think in a way it's self-perpetuating. The more people talk about pressure, the more other people go, oh, you're under pressure. I'm under pressure too. So I think the more you talk about it, the more you put yourself under pressure and almost make it more acceptable for other people to actually go, well, I've lost. I'm going to say I'm under pressure. I know it is a big pressure for sports people. I'm not trying to trivialise it at all, but sometimes you do put more pressure on yourself by saying I'm under pressure.
Yes, we need that to happen in a way because we need people to come out. The problem is that then it's almost like people are victimizing themselves and then staying in that box and allowing themselves to stay there. It's good that the world is aware, but it's an exaggeration the way that things are going.
Yes, I'm not saying that people should bottle it up and not say, look, I feel really bad. I go on court and I'm shaking. I'm not saying that they shouldn't say that. But sometimes it actually helps not talking about it. I think everyone's different. And for some people, it is stiff upper lip can make you feel better.
Yes.
And for some, it is good to unburden that and have the relief of saying, this is too much. I'm taking a break. So, yeah, it's very difficult. And in this instant world in which we live in, you lose a tennis match and then the microphone is thrust under your nose.
Yes.
How do you feel? Talk us through that. Why did you lose that? Why did you lose that match and not this match? And it doesn't sound good to go, I honestly don't know. You have to have a reason. You have to have some compelling reason why you lost, when sometimes there is no particular reason.
And that is also a problem.
Yeah, there is no particular reason. And we live in this instant world too, where you see something on Twitter and you react instantly and it's out there instantly. And your first thought can often be a pretty stupid thought, can't it? But there's no 24-hour delay while you think it over. And maybe there should be with Twitter, with press interviews after a crushing defeat.
Which happens very often. We've seen some comments from tennis players commenting afterwards how they were ashamed of what they said.
Which is very human. We all say things we regret. We should be able to retract them, but you can't on Twitter. Once that genie's out of the bottle, it's there.
It's unbelievable.
People will copy screenshots of it. And even if you delete it, some little nerd in Texas will have taken a copy of that and it's out there. Nothing against Texas.
Yes. The simplicity is a bit out of the way. Everything is recorded. How it's getting very complex to live your life in a way.
Well, let's be less judgmental for a while and show some love. These players are great players. Djokovic and Osaka, on their worst day when they've got heavy flu and can barely get out of bed, can do better shots than I can do.
Incredible.
So, you know, full respect and love to them. And I'm sure they'll be back on course soon. The problem is probably with the system of tennis which has been created, which helps grow tennis and attract interest in tennis, but often makes things more difficult for the people who are actually there at the cutting edge of it.
So, all right. So, congratulations to Bencic. Very happy for the medal.
Yeah. Swiss person under the shadow of Wawrinka.
Yes.
And Federer, not so much anymore.
No, that was a great achievement for her. Congratulations for also the silver and bronze medalists.
Well, that's the great thing, isn't it? In that in a Grand Slam, there is a winner and you forget the loser. You know, in this, you've got the silver medal. You've also got the bronze. You lose in the semifinals, but you've got that chance of getting a bronze medal. And I'm going to say something very controversial now to see whether you agree here, but I think Zverev, with his gold medal, he has overtaken Medvedev and Tsitsipas in terms of career achievements. Medvedev and Tsitsipas have been runners-up in Grand Slam tournaments, but I think Zverev has overtaken them.
That's a great point. And let's not forget that Zverev also has a Grand Slam final. Lost, but
he has. Medvedev's got two. Medvedev, like Zverev, has got the ATP Tour End finals. He's won two.
Two.
But I think the gold medal trumps them all. And the only thing which would trump that, if any of those three actually win a Grand Slam, which they haven't done yet.
And which raises a question which I was going to ask you. Can this drive Zverev to finally take over and start doing great things in Grand Slams? Because here's the question. Steven was telling me, or kind of talking to me about, when he said Zverev is the one that can break Djokovic down. And he was right to say that. But then, best out of five, would Zverev would have beaten Djokovic there? I think this is the question that we're going to find out now in the US Open coming up.
Yes, I have been saying this. I know this will sound like I'm making it up. Zverev has improved over the last year.
He has something special.
But look, Murray used the Olympics as his launch pad for the Grand Slams. And I think it's the right order to win in. I know top players can't choose the order they win the big tournaments in. But you win the Olympics and it's great, but it's a step below the Grand Slams. So you're not going to do a team and go, I've won this great prize, I'm going to take the foot off the pedal, I've achieved it now. That will give you a taste for more. Whereas if maybe he'd won Wimbledon, then suddenly the other Grand Slams would have less appeal. The Olympics would have less appeal. So I think he's winning it, if he is going to go on a Grand Slam rampage, in the right order, if he can carry on this kind of form. So what do you think? Is this the launch pad for Zverev?
If he plays anything like he played the final and the semi-final of the Olympics, he can do it. If he's not able to play like that, he's going to fall again.
He's beaten Djokovic, so who is there that was missing from the Olympics who he could fear?
Wait. He beat Djokovic best of three. It's not the same.
Yes, let's not forget the Olympics. You have to win six matches to win the Olympics. In the Grand Slams, it's seven best of five.
Yeah.
So, yes, it is different in that respect. But Olympic winners lately do go on to win Grand Slams.
I hope so. I am very excited about what Zverev now can do in the US Open. And I am fully behind him after what I saw in the Olympics.
But you would rather Medvedev have won the Olympics?
Definitely. Yes, we have our preferences in players and personalities and styles. But when somebody does well for it long enough, that person becomes more likable automatically because he's so good at that sport.
I find the same, and I think Zverev has grown on me.
Zverev has that.
From that point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. He's stuck at it.
Yeah.
He plays so many tournaments, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's got a great injury record, I think. He doesn't miss many. He's kind of the new Team on the circuit. Team used to play a hell of a lot of tournaments. You've got to respect that.
Zverev's tennis, this Olympics, supreme and imperious. There was something about him that felt powerful, full of confidence.
Yeah.
He was in the zone. So let's hope for the best. I'm excited about the US Open. Do you want any predictions for the US Open before we finish it off?
You know I like my predictions. I know you don't like predictions so much, but it's not a prediction, really. It's such an obvious thing to say. I think it's time for Zverev to win in New York City.
All right.
Do you know, I feel like bursting into song, having said that.
Oh, exactly. Let's do it. You know, So, wait. So, you're telling me that Djokovic is not going to do the, what is it called, four Grand Slams in a year?
I think the sheen has been taken off by not doing the calendar Grand Slam.
Yeah.
I think Djokovic, I know the big thing about Djokovic is a lot of commentators, the media, always say he's not as popular as Federer and Nadal. Okay, so unpopular is a tag we put with Djokovic unfairly, I think. Mm-hmm. I like him, he's a nice bloke. But I would give another tag. I think he's unlucky. And I know that sounds amazing for someone who's won 20 Grand Slams, but he's always getting himself into trouble.
Yes, he is.
Could say the COVID thing when he had that Adriatic tournament wasn't unlucky. But now, if he does win the calendar Grand Slam, people go, well, it wasn't a golden slam.
That's exactly so what's going to happen.
So how unlucky is that? Even though you've done something, you know, the last person to do it was Rod Laver in 69. People go, yeah, well, it wasn't. He should have won the calendar Grand Slam in another year. And then people wouldn't have said, well, it's not the Golden Slam,
is it?
That's
what's going to happen with
Djokovic. That is my definition of unlucky.
Yeah. So just for the fun of it, I'll stick to my prediction from a few days ago. I think Djokovic is going to win it.
He's going to come back.
He's going to go like, nah, I got to do this. I'm going to do this. And he's going to do it. So let's go. Zverev and Djokovic are our predictions. What about for the women?
For the women, I'm less of an expert, so I defer to you. But I would be interested in how Osaka performs. As she said, she hasn't played that much tournament tennis, and it did tell in the Olympics. She hasn't got really much time to get in gear for the US Open, which is a tournament she's done very well in. So rather than predict, I'm going to say my interest, like the rest of the world, will be on how Osaka does, more so than Serena Williams. She's dropped by the wayside in terms of, she was the big person everyone was looking out for. Can she equal the record? She's under the radar more now.
Yes, well, with the soap opera about Osaka, it's definitely a fun story to follow. I would say that Bencic, even though she won the Olympics, she does not have yet the skills to win the US Open. And yes, I'm going to go with, I have no idea.
Ash Barty, has she won the US Open before?
Maybe. Oh, she did, didn't she?
Australians do win the US Open.
That's true. Yeah. So, yeah, let's see. And now on to New York City.
Ivona, strike up that piano.
Scene of the accidents, so I wave you goodbye.